Testament lesson for this, the 22nd Sunday after Trinity, is found in the book of Psalms, the 34th chapter, reading verses 1 through 10. And let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. Psalm 34, beginning with verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. And then the gospel lesson is in Matthew, the 5th chapter, reading verses 1 through 12. Matthew 5, beginning with verse 1. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Here ends the readings for today.
God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Here ends our reading. Father, these are your words. Set them apart now. Sanctify them, we ask, in our hearts as truth, because your word, O God, is true. And we're thankful to you for that today. And I pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts gathered here this morning would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O God, our rock, our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. I mentioned here that historically, November 1st has been recognized in the church as All Saints' Day. You will probably find as I settle in here that from time to time I like to bring up some of these ancient traditions, not so that I can reintroduce us into some form of medieval practice of worship and congregational life, all right? So don't start fearing that, please. But rather, it's important so that we can learn from our brothers and sisters who lived centuries ago, and also to see that many of those foundational beliefs can be applied today and be very beneficial for us, because those beliefs have their root and genesis in Scripture. This idea of All Saints' Day has sadly been abused through the years. That's why a lot of churches don't really recognize it anymore. It's been abused when it comes to things like saint worship, worshiping men and women, okay? But probably the most grossly abused by the fact that people associate today, historically called All Hallows Day, with the night before, All Hallows Eve, Halloween. So instead of a healthy understanding of this day, many spend the night before celebrating ghosts and zombies and demons and devils. And I don't want to pick a fight over Halloween here this morning, okay? If your kid wants to dress up as their favorite football player or Princess Elsa and go ask their neighbors for candy, that's probably not the end of the world. The point is, we've drifted so far into the consumerism of these things, and we could list a whole bunch of other holy days, right? Holidays that have gone that way too. That there's no concept of the reality that once upon a time, this day meant something to Christians. So what is an appropriate biblical view of this day? And what benefits and encouragements can we take from it? To start to answer that, I'd like you to think about this. Why do we have special days that we remember? Okay? Now, days like Christmas and Easter, those are pretty self-explanatory and in a league of their own, so to speak, because they are ultimately and very directly related to Jesus and about Him. And so I don't really want to use those, even though they would in a lot of ways fall into this line of thinking too. But maybe let's use birthdays. Birthdays are good to celebrate. Agree? I hope so. Why do we celebrate birthdays every year? Is it to worship those people? I hope not. Though sometimes you maybe kind of wonder. But birthdays are good because we remember that that particular person was born and exists. And we're thankful for that person. Birthdays are reminders for us every year to say, happy birthday, but to say, I'm glad you were born. And it's a very simple and silly way of saying it, but it's true. We celebrate birthdays because we're thankful for these people. And in that sense, I'd like us to consider two things. Number one, regarding this day, that a day like today can be a chance for us to remember and give thanks to God for those people who have encouraged us in the faith. Okay, those who are still living, certainly, but also those who over these years have died. My grandma is one of those people. She died 5 months ago, and I'm so thankful that God put her in my life for all of those years and for the way that she so lovingly pointed me to Jesus. I'm thankful to God today for her. And I'm sure many of you can think of similar people in your life. But the second thing, and the reason why this can be helpful, is that is what I want to focus on this morning. And it's the reality that Scripture teaches that all those who are in Christ, all who are believing in Him, trusting in Him, are saints. That's a big part of today too. It's an opportunity for us as the family of God to recognize and remember and thank God that all of those believing in the Lord are saints. All those who die in the Lord, trusting in Him, are saints. And Paul talks about these things in these verses, and that's where we turn now. We're going to look at three things, three characteristics, okay, of saints today. And the first one is kind of a definition of who saints are. It's in verse 2. Saints are those who call upon the name of the Lord in every place, it says. This is a rather common phrase throughout Scripture in the Old Testament. In Joel chapter 2, verse 32, the prophet there says that it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. In Acts chapter 2, Peter quotes that verse in his sermon on Pentecost. Paul quotes the verse also in Romans chapter 10. There he says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now that kind of begs the question, how does one come to call upon the name of the Lord? What does that mean? And Paul answers that in the following verses in Romans chapter 10, where he says that. He says, how can someone call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how can someone believe, or how can they believe in someone in whom they have never heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching? And how can people preach unless they are sent? And that's where that verse that maybe some of you have heard about how blessed are the feet of those who bring good news comes in. And then a few verses after that, Paul says that faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of Christ. So calling on the name of the Lord is very directly related to faith. It really is faith. That's what that means. So saints are the people of faith. Specifically, faith in Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross for them. Okay? And Paul, in this verse here in 1 Corinthians, calls us, sanctified ones. And that word sanctified carries with it this idea of holiness and cleanliness and perfection. And this is very interesting because if I ask you, who are the ones in your life that you know that you would call saints? And don't start pointing around, okay? The ones who are very saintly, so to speak. Don't we like to identify, think with me here on this, don't we like to identify saintliness with those who really are, we're pretty sure, maybe don't even sin? At least we've never seen them sin. He or she is just a real saint. They're so good, and they do so many good things, and they're so sweet and wonderful and nice. She's a real saint. But here in this verse, we discover that saintliness really has nothing to do with our holy conduct. Rather, it's all about God's work in the life of the sinner. We are saved by faith in the saving work of God in the cross, and that is what makes us a saint. And this matters, okay? Because it helps us to start to be able to grasp better the value that God puts on you. And the value of the treasure that he has given you. And that's the second thing, the second characteristic about saints that our text describes this morning. Saints are the ones who have been given the treasure of the grace of God. Verse 4, listen to these words starting in verse 4. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched. You are rich in every way in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed in you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, it says. Do you hear the beauty of the riches that are ours in Christ Jesus? This is fascinating. Because here, Paul gives thanks to these Corinthians for the grace that they are enriched with, and he calls them saints, sanctified ones, yet, okay, if you read the rest of the book of 1 Corinthians, it sure sounds like these Corinthians were not very saintly. They were quarreling and divided. That's later in chapter 1. They were eating meat that had been sacrificed to idols, and in doing so were not caring for the conscience and well-being of their neighbor. There were some who weren't believing in the resurrection of the dead. There were those who were taking the Lord's Supper too lightly. There was even a case, all right, I think it's in chapter 5, of one who had very, very inappropriate relations with his stepmother. And the Christians in Corinth seemed to be okay with that. And it was developing this atmosphere of chaos and disorder and division, and it was rising in the Corinthian church from these issues. And so in all of that disorder and chaos, what got dropped was the focus on Christ as our salvation. They thought they had moved past that. They thought they had outgrown it. And Paul refers to that later in chapter 1. And they had dropped that whole focus on Christ as salvation, righteousness, redemption. And because they thought they were past that, because they thought they didn't need Jesus anymore, all of these other things were happening. And that's why Paul then says it's so important to stress and to understand and to know that our status as saints is in Christ and only in Christ. You step outside of that, you drift away from that, you look elsewhere, you look to your good works and how good you are and how that makes you the best person, you start to get into trouble. The point of Paul's words here in 1 Corinthians, stay in Christ, remain in Him, cling to Him, because in Him you are righteous and blameless and holy and precious in the sight of God. In Christ, you are a saint. You take Christ away out of the picture, you are left in the stink and the filth and the rottenness of your sins. And these Corinthians were not any better than you or I. But in Jesus, by faith in Him, clinging to Him, Paul says they've been given grace. They are enriched. He says in all speech and knowledge, they are not lacking in any gift. These are the riches of God at the expense of Christ. That's the acronym sometimes that we use for grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. Those riches are ours in Christ. And so we cling to Him. Waiting, it says, for the revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this leads us into the third and final characteristic or thing that we learn about saints in these verses. Saints will be found guiltless on the last day. Listen to verses 8 and 9, please. Christ will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So this God-given status as saints remains. Paul says it is sustained by Christ. And when that last day comes, some refer to it as Judgment Day, which can be a very scary thing. For many it is. That's why many try to ignore it. For Christians, for those in Christ, for saints, Judgment Day is not something to be fearful of at all. Having been sustained in God's grace through Christ, we stand before God's judgment guiltless, it says. We are judged righteous. And you think about that, and you think about the fear that so many have there, and being judged by the God who knows and sees and hears everything. And in spite of all of that, even in that, you, dear brother and sister, in Christ, are judged to be righteous and blessed and holy. And I'll tell you that a normal response to that would be, that's too good to be true. But it is, because God says it. He writes there in verse 9, God is faithful. So God keeps His promises. He always has. He always will. Specifically here, He keeps His promises to His people, the people that He has called for His own possession, the saints, those trusting in His salvation for them. And that brings a confidence and a hope that is unrivaled. Today I mentioned that The day has also been designated as the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. I don't think that's a coincidence, by the way, that they, whoever the powers that be, designated this day as that. Because it's important to remember that in Christ, alive or dead in the flesh, in Christ, these are saints. And so we pray for those who are sacrificing their life, who are giving up their life. We don't pray to those who have died already, but we pray to God to thank God for them and for their witness and for their testimony. And we pray for those who are still living. We pray for one another and the different forms of persecution that we face each day, and suffering and trial and pain and hurt. And we encourage one another with those words. These things are happening. A simple Google search will reveal story after story of Christians being put to death by ISIS and other radical groups. It's here too, like I said. The gunman in Oregon there a few weeks ago is said to have singled out Christians in his rampage. We need to be praying for one another. It's a beautiful thing. And I'm so thankful, like I said, for those testimonies that are coming from all over the world of those people joyfully professing faith in the face of even death. How do they have that kind of strength and faith? It's because they're saints. And in Christ, you and I are saints too. We're trusting in Jesus. And Jesus is the one who supplies each and every need. Jesus is the one who sustains us. Jesus is the one who is faithful. He keeps his promises. He stays with us. Friends, we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper here in just a minute. And I would invite you to consider some of these things as you prepare to come forward. Paul began this section of verses by referring to those who call upon the name of the Lord. And we looked at when Paul uses that phrase in Romans chapter 10 by saying that those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a direct reference there to faith, trusting in Jesus. In the verses right before that in Romans 10, Paul writes that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And I ask you this morning, do you believe in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? We confessed that earlier. Do you believe that God loves you so much that he was willing to send his Son as a sacrifice for your sins, to die on the cross, to endure suffering and scorn and shame and death? Do you believe that Jesus lives today? That he rose from the grave and conquered death? If so, I invite you joyfully to come forward and to receive the cleansing, the forgiveness of sins that comes to you through Jesus, through his word in these means. And to leave this place today, and really any Sunday, and really every day, to every day rejoice. No matter what that day may bring, not necessarily persecution, but maybe, whatever each day brings, to every day rejoice and to glory in your status as a called saint of the Most High. Amen.